Are we ready for God's word this morning?
Yes.
All right, let's open our hymnals to. I was wanting to make sure you were paying attention. Kiki, don't you scare me, Kiki. You scare. Yes, ma'am. Mark chapter 10, please. Mark chapter 10. We have been on a study on snapshots of the Savior. And today we're going to look at what I want to call spiritual acuity. Can we put that slide up, Miss Dawn, please? Spiritual acuity. So while you're turning to Mark chapter 10, and I need to get there myself, let's look up at the screen to define acuity. Sharpness or keenness of what? A thought, vision, or hearing. I want to emphasize that word hearing. Sharpness or keenness of thought, vision, or hearing. And usually the context in which acuity is mentioned is somebody having intellectual acuity. That means that they catch on quick, don't they? In layman's terms, they are quick studies. They catch on quick. They understand easily. And they embrace what is being taught. They understand, they embrace, and they practice. That's the sum total of the definition of acuity. But this morning we're going to look at spiritual acuity, not so much intellectual acuity. Mark chapter 10, please. And we're going to look at verse 32, Mark 10. All right. Now, when they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, them being the disciples, and they, the disciples, were amazed. And as they followed, they were what? Afraid. In other words, they had deep reverence for the Lord. Then he took the 12 aside again and begin to tell them things that would happen to him. Notice verse 33. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and to the scribes. They will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. Now stop there. Would you agree with me that these are serious matters that Jesus is confiding to his 12? I mean, once you consider, I mean, he's been with them for three and a half years, and now he's telling them, I'm going to die. All right, let's see what their acuity is when he tells them this. Verse 35, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you ask. Can you drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Okay, can we stop there, church family? Listen. What are these two cats concerned about? What? Themselves. Aren't they looking for a position? Because what are they thinking? Jesus is going to establish his earthly kingdom and reign as an earthly king, as a political and militaristic ruler over Israel, right? And he's going to overthrow Rome's reign or rule over the Jews. And that's all they're concerned about. And what did Jesus finish telling them about what was going to happen to him? He's going to die. Okay, very quick question. Did the disciples get it? They didn't get it. Can we say that their spiritual acuity was not very good? Not very good. Let's go to chapter 9. You're going to see this is a recurring process with these blessed disciples. Then they departed from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know it, for he taught his disciples and said to them, Notice the same message. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. After he is killed, he will rise the third day, but they did not what?
Understand.
The disciples did not what? Okay. Saying, they did not understand this saying and were afraid to ask him. Once again, so Jesus didn't just, in chapter 10, that was not the first time Jesus brought it up, was it? He had brought it up before in chapter 9. Right? And they did not understand. Mark chapter 8. We're just going backwards here. And he left them and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. And then he, Jesus, charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? So what was the problem with these disciples? Why were they spiritually dead? Their hearts were what? Were hardened. Okay, so let's stop and... Did these disciples not listen to Jesus' sayings? Did not Jesus teach them? Yes. Did not Jesus tell them some things more than once? Did they get what Jesus was trying to tell them? Why? Hard hearts. See, a lot of us read the Gospels and we think, oh, look at St. Peter and look at St. John and St. Matthew. These dudes didn't get anything Jesus told them. Chapter 7. When he had called all the multitude to himself, this is verse 14. When he, Jesus, had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and what? And what? Hear me, everyone, and understand. Now, if Jesus tells us that we can understand something, can we understand something? Yes. Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from the outside which can defile him, but the things that come, which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear, or let him understand. When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? So the crowds didn't get it. And who else didn't get it? Disciples. Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? And then he goes on. Let's stop there. All right, so what can we conclude of the disciples' spiritual acuity?
A little short.
Yeah, they fall short. Not very good, is it? Listen, and I used to, in chapter 10, Jesus comes down with Peter, James, and John after the Mount of Transfiguration, and then he finds that his disciples were taking turns with a man's son who was demon-possessed, and the disciples couldn't cast it out. Remember that? That's in Mark 10. And then Jesus said this, and for the longest time it used to baffle me why Jesus seemed harsh. But now we see the context. Jesus said, oh, unbelieving and faithless generation, how much longer must I tolerate you? Wow, those are harsh. How much? But look at the context. Do these guys get anything Jesus is saying? Huh? Can we talk about, you know, because when we're going to talk about Jesus, we have to talk about our spiritual acuity. All of our, or what I like to call our spiritual quotient. Our SQ, not necessarily our IQ. You know, the culture says your IQ is your highest form of quotient. No, God says your spiritual quotient is higher than your intellectual quotient, intelligence quotient, right? And even they even have an EQ, emotional quotient. All right? Now, the Real Housewives of the ATL, their emotional quotient is nothing. So don't follow them. They are chaotic. They are women of no principle. So their emotions are all about what? Drama. Can I get a witness in the house? Amen? So let's go to our spiritual quotient. How is our spiritual quotient? Okay? Do we understand what Jesus tells us? Sometimes. How about we look at, we're not going to turn there, I'm just going to allude to the parable of the sower. You know, Jesus said there was a farmer, I'll use it in modern day term, farmer broadcasting seed. Some of the seed fell by the roadside. Some of the seed fell on stony ground. Some of the seed fell on ground that had weeds, right? And then the last seed broadcasted fell on good ground, and that ground produced a harvest. Right, and then he explained that people that it falls by the wayside, that the birds sweep up and steal it. He says the birds are the devil that steals the word out of people's hearts because they were hard-hearted. Right, and so he teaches this. This parable is found in the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, and the Gospel of Luke. Except there's a variation. Did you know there's a variation? You can look it up later on in your Bibles. In a variation. And the one that Jesus said that got it, that got the Word of God, received it, and it produced fruit in their lives. They were, in Matthew's Gospel, it says they heard it. They heard the Word of God, right? Because the seed is the Word of God. They heard the Word of God. And number one, they understood it. Who agrees with me that you have to, your square one of our spiritual quotient is understanding the sayings of Jesus? Right? You know, it can't stop at understanding. In fact, I'm going to submit a thought to you that if we understand the word but don't act upon it and don't make it a practice to live it out, then we won't have a true understanding of the Savior. Can I get a witness in the house? Right? Did not Jesus say in John chapter 7 is that the reason why he was telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the reason why you guys don't know God and cannot recognize me is because you don't put his sayings into practice. Right? I remember had a nurse, she and her husband were visiting with me and my ex in my living room in Kansas, and they said, you know, I know how to live a healthy life. I understand what I must do. I need to do this and I need to do that. And out of her mouth, she said, but I'm not going to do it. Okay, that's between you and your health and your doctor. It's one thing to understand something intellectually. Come on, church family. This is good preaching. And a difference between you understanding intellectually and understanding it in your heart. Right? A lot of people say, well, you know, I learned a lot about God, but I don't seem to know him any better. Well, hello. That's what I call the foot that defeats. It's about a foot from your brain to your heart, right? Do you just understand it here? Well, that's good teaching. Come on, somebody, give me some love. Do we just understand it in our brain, or do we understand it in our hearts? See, so the first thing that Matthew says, they heard the word, but they understood it. Mark's gospel said they heard the word and they received it. Who understands that you have to receive it as it was presented to you, as the word of God and not the opinion of some pundit, not the expertise, knowledge, or educated opinion about some authoritative source. It is the word of God. So we have to hear it and understand it. Number one, hear it. Number two, receive it. And then in Luke's gospel, it says they heard it and they kept it. Amen. So you hear it and understand it. You hear it and then receive it. You hear it and then you keep it. So it goes like this. I hear the word, number one. I understand the word, number two. I receive the word as the word of God, right? Not up for argument, not up for questioning. Amen. And number three, I keep the word. I put it into practice. Thank you. That's how we grow. That's how we come to know Jesus better. Okay? So let's go back to the story. So what was the thing that Jesus was trying to communicate to the disciples? He said, the Son of Man, we're going up to Jerusalem, didn't he? He said it twice. He said, and I will be delivered over to the Gentiles. I will be killed. I will be scourged. I will be killed. But on the third day, I will rise again. And they did not understand it. Listen to your family. Something as serious, the disciples, would you agree with me that of all the people that should have understood it, it should have been the disciples? Weren't they around the master all the time? Didn't they hear his teaching? Didn't they hear the parables? Didn't Jesus pull them aside from the crowds and explain the parables? I mean, he said it was for them that it was reserved to know the secrets of the kingdom. But did they get it? It's interesting, isn't it? Let me say, I'm going to quote a quote from A.W. Tozer, and I'm going to go to my my phone here. I have this. A.W. Tozer said once, may not the inadequacy of much of our spiritual experience be traced back to our habit of skipping through the corridors of the kingdom like children in the marketplace, chattering about everything, but pausing to learn the true value of nothing. Wow, that just says it all, huh? May not the inadequacy of our spiritual experience be such that here we are skipping through the corridors of the kingdom of God. We're like children in the marketplace. What are we doing? Yep, 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 yep. And never pausing to learn the true value of the riches of the wisdom of God. Wow. Wow. May it not be said of me. May it not be said of us. Amen? All right, so let me ask you, who understood that Jesus was dying? I know you know, Mr. Genius. One person understood. And it was not any of the disciples. In fact, it was not a man. It was a woman. It was a woman who had a very checkered past. Go with me to Mark chapter 14. So far, so good, everybody?
Yes.
Notice. Verse 3. Mark chapter 14, verse 3. Isn't it nice of me? We stayed entirely in the Gospel of Mark. You're welcome. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he, Jesus, sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. Who was that disciple saying that? Judas. And they criticized her sharply. Let's read on. But Jesus said, let her alone, or leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me, for you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for what? Isn't that interesting? She understood that Jesus was going to die. More than likely was the only person who understood that Jesus was going to die. Come on, somebody. Did the disciples get it? Assuredly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Wow. Isn't that a great honor that Jesus bestowed on her? Saying, because she's the only one that got that I'm going to die and be killed, then she'll also be mentioned as a testimony to what she did for me. Wow. Church family, listen, let's be open. Let's be teachable. I love the song that we sang before this. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Can we all pray that prayer? Fall afresh on me, Holy Spirit. Fill me, mold me. I want to be pliable in the hands of the Master. I want my heart, my spirituality, my spiritual understanding to be pliable and always be open to what the Lord has to say for us. Can we have a collective amen in the house for that? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for spiritual acuity. Help us to grow in this, Lord. Help us to mature in spiritual acuity, to understand, Father, what your heart is, how your ways are. The psalm says that Israel understood your works, but Moses understood your ways. Father, we don't want to just settle for your works. We want to know your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.